This week on the show, we've been talking about the gears, the levers, the people, and the coordination that make up our election process here in the United States. On Monday's show, we heard about why the system is so fractured, which has Americans voting differently all across the country. And when it comes to securing elections, that's one of the many reasons there are flaws in the design.
If we're talking about the physical infrastructure, there's no question. A lot has been done in the past couple of years since the 2016 election, but there's a lot more that we should be doing to invest in that system and to make sure that it is working properly for everyone.
We are operating a system across this country that is completely out of step with the rest of the world, with other nations to which we compare ourselves. And we could be doing so much better in terms of having a much more inclusive electorate that reflects the demographics of the country.
That's Janae Nelson, Associate Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, and Larry Norden, Deputy Director of the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice. I asked them to take us through the vulnerabilities in our system and tell us who pays the price for those holes.
The Brennan Center, just this past March, did a survey of election officials. Officials in 33 states said they needed to replace their equipment before 2020. The vast majority of them did not have the funds to do so. And this isn't an abstract problem. In most cases, these machines are no longer manufactured. Too often, that means election officials, believe it or not, are turning to eBay to find replacement parts. And perhaps most disturbingly for those of us who work in the space, you still have 13 states that are using systems without any kind of paper backup. And that means if there's any kind of question about the results, there's no independent record to check the software with. Since 2016, we haven't made as much progress as I would like in replacing those systems.
Janae, I want to ask you, when you hear the challenges, the physical infrastructure challenges that Larry is pointing out, do you make a connection there between the physical infrastructure and voter suppression? Are those two things connected? And if so, how?
Yes, I think they're quite related because they all are part of what I call a crisis of integrity in our election system. There are concerns not only about how votes are cast and counted, but also how people are able to have access to the polls and whether the equipment is equitably distributed, whether the opportunities to vote are equitably distributed. And what we're seeing across the country are numerous devices to keep the American public from the polls, and particularly minority communities. They are becoming the largest portion of the electorate. And it's extraordinarily concerning that there are so many different ways in which we make voting difficult for eligible voters in this country. What we know is that this electorate is slowly being curated and handcrafted by election officials who can manipulate who gets on the voter registration rolls, and once they get there, who has an opportunity to cast a ballot in a fair and free and equal way.
And why doesn't the federal government take that role? I mean, I feel like if we're talking about something that has this many holes, that is disenfranchised people, and is so critical to what this country is, i.e. a democracy or a republic, then why isn't this taken care of?
Well, I would say that it should be that there should be some minimum standards when it comes to both election system security and investing in our infrastructure and in making sure that citizens have the right to vote. But in fact, if anything, we've seen the opposite in recent years. You have the Supreme Court striking down critical sections of the Voting Rights Act, which has made it much easier for local jurisdictions to frankly manipulate the process and for partisans to decide who can vote and who can't vote. And you've got the same thing when it comes to the election infrastructure. Congress basically saying, you know, it's the state's responsibility, and the state's often saying it's the county responsibility. And what happens is you have vastly different standards, not only between states, but even within states.
Larry, I want to ask you about cybersecurity. We hear about this a lot. There's been all this talk about how vulnerable our systems can be to hacking, for example, to international interference or foreign interference. What are the vulnerabilities today, and are they different than they were in 2016?
I'm not sure that they're any different than they were in 2016. the election infrastructure is vast. So there's a lot of focus often on voting machines themselves. But if you look at what was targeted in 2016, and frankly has been targeted in elections abroad in the past few years, it's things like the voter registration database, election websites, electronic poll books, which we use in 34 states, all these things that people use to figure out where they should be voting, and then election officials use to make sure that people are entitled to vote. And interference with any of these systems can create confusion, make it more difficult for people to vote, and often what the intention is, create doubt in the integrity of a system. I do want to say, you know, because there's all this doom and gloom talk about these things, we do have procedures in place that should mean that even if there is some kind of cyber attack or interference or frankly mistake, right? No election is run perfectly ever, that people should still be able to vote and have their votes counted. So I'll just give you one for instance, because we've seen this in past elections. If there are problems with electronic poll books or people are showing up and their names aren't on the registration rolls, but they believe they're registered, they're entitled to a provisional ballot under federal law. Under the Help America Vote Act, if you're told that you're not registered to vote and you believe you are, you can fill out a form and they can vote a ballot and they can figure out later if there was some kind of problem. And nobody, if they see a problem with their registration, and people should check their registration online, you can do that virtually everywhere in the United States. If they see a problem, they should tell their election officials, but there is an election protection hotline. The phone number is 866-OUR-VOTE, and there are experts there that can help and that can make sure that you get to cast that ballot.
Janae, what about you? What is something that you would like voters to know about this system going into the midterms?
You know, we pay a lot of attention to foreign interference in our elections, as we should, but we cannot ignore the fact that many voters, and especially voters of color, are at greater risk of being disenfranchised by state and local officials. And that's something that should be absolutely unacceptable in our democracy today. So we at the NAACP Legal Defense Fund are encouraging everyone to be prepared to vote. That is, check your registration in advance, do everything you can to be prepared when you go to the polls, and be prepared to stick it out, to wait it out if necessary, and to cast your ballot.
Larry Norden is the Deputy Director of the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice, and Janae Nelson is the Associate Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Rod from East Rutherford. I'm glad the takeaway is having this discussion. I have a friend in Ohio who is learning disabled because of a childhood head injury. He's had a lot of trouble with voting machines. And he called me and told me that he was concerned because, according to the instructions on the ballot, any mistakes are punishable as a fifth-degree felony in Ohio. And he's concerned that if he makes a mistake and submits the ballot, that he may do some jail time.
Thanks for your comment, Rod. We're going to be talking about this more tomorrow. Thanks so much for being with us today. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.